Let's go to Isaiah 26.
I found it. I was looking on the internet and trying to find this quote. And I found it in a Last Word 191. So I spent 2 hours looking at this dang quote. I'm not even going to use it because I already used it. I'll start repeating myself.
Maybe.
But I digress.
Shake it up.
As I once told you before.
So you Googled yourself.
Boy, was it uncomfortable.
We read Isaiah 26, I think, for either the Fast of Ab or the Fast of Thomas. I can't remember which, but every year. And this is what I want to talk about is still in the context of this idea that all of your idols have been destroyed, all of your false value systems are false. Everything really is empty. Everything, you really are in 100% dependence on God. And all that is taking place during this period, which we call being sanctified, is that your mind is slowly but surely seeing what already exists, what already is the truth. And so it's not a matter of struggle, it's a matter of seeing.
What's that word about conform to that which
it's the word renewing of your mind, where it says you'd be you'd be transfigured or transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing is that great Greek word called, and it's anakinesis. And it means a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. That which has been is now. That which is to be has already been. But God requireth that which is past. Because there can't be a union until you see what He sees. That's why the word confess the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean to say He exists. It means that you see and say the same things. That's what homologio means. It's you see the same thing or you say the same thing. That's what confess is. Confess, it's not doing you any good to confess that Jesus exists. That's a starting point. So this passage we read in Isaiah, I think it's on either the Fast of Thomas or the Fast of Ab, it discusses these idols or these value systems or these lords that have had dominion over us. And so let's go, we're not going to read the whole thing, but let's start in in verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. But let favor be showed to the wicked or to the wicked one, It's not the things that you think are wicked. Let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Now, this isn't a learning thing that you learn to see his righteousness, or that you learn to do justly. It's you unlearn everything else. You quit giving importance to the wicked one, which is this false self, and then everything else crumbles, because it's just like with, you know, we've talked about with the god of Baal or Baal, that he stands on this pedestal, or he stands, he's 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and you think he's everything, the base of it is all of the utensils and the artifices from the temple, but when you take those out and put them in the right place, then the thing falls. I didn't do anything to learn that cause and effect was the greatest enemy of faith. There's nothing that I learned. I have no righteousness in knowing that. But when I saw it, when it became clear, then it's obvious. And cause and effect is the God of Babylon. And so it doesn't matter whether you say you believe in Jesus 23 times a minute. If internally your religion is cause and effect, you got to learn to do this, then you're still in Babylon. It doesn't matter what you say in the temple, or the words you say, or the outward expression. It's what goes on in the temple that defines who you are. And it's God's mercy that has allowed us to live this long, because we should have been wiped out, because we are nothing but a total and complete slap in the face every time that we lean on our own arm of understanding to do something. Every time we think that we're going to take this action and this action and this is going to happen, because it says the sacrifice wasn't enough. So, let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. Because he'll think it's something that he did. All right. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they don't even see it. They shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. That is the There's nothing that shows our stupidity more than that verse. Thou hast wrought all our works in us. I mean, we're still, even after all of these years, we are still convinced that God didn't become Lord of our lives until, you know, we were gracious enough to accept him as our personal Savior, whatever else religion you were doing. God is always has been, from time eternal, he's always been the Lord of your life. Do you see that? For thou hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. That's obvious. They didn't really, but we thought they did, and we worshiped them. Now, who are these lords? What, is it your boss? No, the lords that have had dominion over you are your value systems, your ideas of how to respond to stuff. The pillars, the groves, all of the other things. But now, this is the interesting, to me, the most. It's an interesting usage of words. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. In other words, they have never been. They have been as air, and then we'll see that. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made even their memory to perish. Now, it's past tense. The same as whom he justified, them he called, whom he called, them he justified, whom he justified, them he also glorified. All past tense. So the only thing that's going on is like the building. If in the context of we are the stones of the temple, the building has already been built. Or if we're in the context of the bride is already perfected. It's just that in the building, we're just moving out the construction furniture or the construction activities. That's all that's happening. There's absolutely nothing for you to learn. There's nothing for you to do. That's all. That's what communion is. It was just said last night. Communion is really about. It's a mini Passover. So once in a cycle of time, once every 7 days, we celebrate our exodus from time. And then the bread and the wine especially the wine. But it's like, okay, all that crap that I learned this last 7 days, I declare it null and void as the dust of the earth. Otherwise, you're not celebrating Passover or communion. You're just eating some unleavened bread and drinking some pretty bad wine. But it's always, 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 everything we do, whether it's baptism, whether it's communion, whether it's any other sacrament, when anything, it's always emptying. Always emptying. But some of you still think you're gonna learn something. Because you're under the mistaken impression that you learned something of value in the past. So therefore, it still has to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until you go forward and fall backward and are snared and taken. This is why the call of Jeremiah was, let's go there, Jeremiah 1.
You're thinking about emptying is like.
You did it again.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Emptying is like the doorway to eternity.
It's not like it, it's the only.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Jeremiah what?
1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and wheresoever I command thee, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said he, the Lord, then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen well, or thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now the whole idea, what does that mean? What does it mean to say he saw the rod of an almond tree?
It's fruit out of time.
Right. The almond tree sprouts before any other in the winter. And so even though it was not the right season by any thing that you could be determined with his senses, he saw the finished work. It's the same as Jesus saying, the fields are white unto harvest. That means all of the, I love it because these guys always say this, and then the next minute they say, but plant your seed. If the fields are white unto the harvest and have been so since the day of Christ, what seed are you going to plant? So what we do is we see the finishedness. We see the finished work of the New Jerusalem. We see with John the New Jerusalem descending as a bride adorned for her husband. We see, we don't look at anything. We don't even look at if we look inward. Many said, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north shall an evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the earth, saith God, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. In other words, everything in time and space is against what I said this morning. This isn't about Israel over there. This is about everything. There are no allies to the kingdom of God in time and space. And especially there are no allies to the kingdom of God in your thought process. Every thought process is hardwired to be an enemy. That's why the mind of Christ, though he was in the form of God, he thought it not something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. And then all the pillars and all the groves and all the grave engravings of false value systems and all of your Jerusalem that now is crumbles because you're the one that's giving it the support. And then that evil one that you raised from the dead from his deadly head wound, you will stop giving him breath. And so he will die. He will no longer have any influence over you. And so you walk 100% of the time in total dependence on God, seeing nothing but him. Otherwise, you just go in and out, you friggin' yo-yo, up and down, in and out. Oh, I had 3 seconds of peace yesterday. Should be the strange thing that you're not at peace, which would bring forth instant repentance. So the battle against spiritual wickedness in the high places, which isn't the Bush administration or the Kerry administration or any other administration. The spiritual wickedness in the high places is talking to you. Unless you think that all those things up there aren't flesh and blood, but they're like demons or something. Unless, well, you might think that anyway, but never mind. But when you see the finishness, then your warfare is over. If you don't see the finishness, then you're continuing in the battle. You're just like those Japanese soldiers. 43 years after the end of the Second World War, they were still on an island fighting. You fight in your mind. You play all the games in your mind. You do all the Gentile stuff in your mind. And God is saying patiently, it's over. Why are you doing all this? He is the sacrifice that is offered. He is the offer that offered it. He is the priest that accepted it. He is all in every aspect. We got this, man, I must have been blind or didn't when I read the last issue of the magazine, the Steve Chalk interview, where Becky and Steve are playing, having a spiritual circle jerk. And they're saying, Jesus came and said, the Old Testament God is wrong. I almost hit the ceiling when I read that. Did you see that? You sent it to me. Huh?
I sent you the letters.
How did that get in there?
I have no idea. Talk to your editor.
Huh? Well, you don't understand the way the system works. There's a lot of things that we think we approve or disapprove that get into the magazine. Anyway, we just, the editorial meetings and the editing are just...
Well, it's not that bad, but you should talk to Bob about it.
Oh, you can be assured that I will. Because that, there's two statements in that interview just... crazy. Anyhow, this thing about your groves and your pillars, all the little value systems, you don't have to worry about it. It's just smoke anyway. Smoke and mirrors. Amen? Other lords besides thee have had dominion over you. Besides me, in terms of God speaking. But now, they're gone.
And then that next sentence, by the only...
who make mention of thy name.
Yeah. Where am I in that?
This kind of clears up the... I've always struggled with... I know you've said, you haven't said it lately, but in the past you've said that free will or self-will is...
Free will is a joke.
Yeah, an illusion. And that's always really thrown me for loops. I said, man, that can't be true. I choose all the time this and that. It's an illusion.
Two wills in the universe, the will of God, the will of the evil one, which is also the will of God, really. And we're not capable of doing either one of them. I mean, we do the one automatically, but we're not capable of doing the will of God. That's why we abandon. That's why anybody that says they're doing the will of God is a fool. God and I were talking this morning in the bathroom, and he told me, you know he didn't, you fool.
There's a whole lot of people out there that are trying to tell them that, and they don't hear that.
Well, they'll kill you. Think they're doing God holy service.
When you start talking about idolatry this morning, I was seeing it's like the movie The Reanimator, where things would die and you breathe life back into them. That's what we do with our idols. We breathe life into these dead things. It's like God breathed life into Adam, but we take on that role and breathe life into all these pillars that, you know, we've got something to worship. And it fails us, and we go there and pump it up again, try to make our lives work.
And we even breathe life into ourselves, which is just the most.
Yeah.
That's the conundrum that's almost impossible to think about. All righty, I'm tired of talking. Take a big guy.